Under the circumstances. That's an old expression. Under the circumstances. Well, considering everything that's going on, I'm under the circumstances, and we go on to say how we feel about something. We'll look at that today. Let's look at this first scripture, Isaiah 49 and 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Listen to what God is saying to you this morning. He's saying to you and to me, let that just sink in a minute. I'm not going to forget you. I'm not going to forget who you are. I'm not going to forget where you are. I'm not going to forget what's going on in your life. I will not forget you. Then in Hebrews, this next verse, Hebrews 13 and verse 5, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what can man do to me. I love that verse, don't you? That's a promise that He will never leave us or forsake us, that He's with us. That we can boldly say, because of that promise, He's my personal helper. He's with me now, this very moment. I will not fear. I will not give in to the attacks of the enemy. I will not give in to doubt and uncertainty and all the things that come upon me. I will not do that. What can man do to me? Because I'm in God's hands, amen? What a great word that is. This phrase that somebody say, how you doing? And you hear somebody say, well, you know, under the circumstances, I'm not doing too well. It's really an expression. It's an expression that says that they're living under very trying events. They're living under trying situations. Sometimes they're in the midst of things that are hard and troubling and deflating and worrisome, and they tend to make people discouraged. And so when they say that, you know that there's something going on in somebody's life. The reality is that sometimes in this world, whether it's the world or flesh or the devil, it can get Christians down, can't it? We can suddenly be in a situation that gets us down. We can't figure out what's going on, but we know that we're in the midst of a trial or a problem. Unfortunate things may happen, some by our own bad decisions, and that happens sometimes. We just make bad decisions. Some by things that we have no control over at all. And whatever the cause, sometimes it feels like they just pile up in our lives, and it's almost as if somebody's got their foot on our neck. And Christians can sometimes find themselves under the circumstances, so to speak. In fact, I'm certain that there's not a person in here today that hasn't at some time been in that situation where you can say, you know, I'm kind of under some circumstances and they're not real favorable right now. Christians find that in their lives because we know that this world, this old world, is no friend to the people of God or to the things of God. This old world is no friend to the gospel message or the grace and love and forgiveness that Christ brings to us. And the reality is that, yes, even believers go through a time in their life, in their walk with Christ, where they're not on top, so to speak, where we're not on top of the mountain and we're just smiling and things are going great. The Bible, I love the Word of God. Don't you love the Word of God? The Bible gives us wonderful examples of men and women of faith that were under the circumstances, so to speak. That takes to the first point, the Bible characters under the circumstances. Let's examine a few of those this morning, and we'll begin with this fellow known as Abraham. Abraham, he was called a friend of God. God had promised him a son, and over the years, he and his wife Sarah prayed and prayed, and it seemed like God had forgotten the promise. But God keeps His promises. Hear me today. God keeps His promises. When Abraham was 100 years old, and his wife Sarah was 90 years old, they were blessed with a son. 90 years old, blessed with a son. Now Mary Frost is here today. She's 92 years old. Now, you just think about having a baby this age. But see, that's the miracle of God, isn't it? It's not the natural, it's the supernatural, isn't it? God did an amazing thing. After they had a son, God told Abraham to take his son to go up on top of Mount Moriah and offer him up as a sacrifice to God. Well, can you imagine what was going on in his mind at that point? Surely Abraham was under the circumstances, so to speak. How could he be blessed? How could he have descendants as numerous as the stars and be a great nation if his only son is given as a sacrifice to God? He was under the circumstances that he did not create himself. But we know what he did. He obeyed God, didn't he? He took his son. As he was about to go up on Mount Moriah, the Bible says he had taken a couple of servants along with him. It's interesting to note, you go back and look at the Word of God, it says that when he and his son, Isaac, left to go up on top of that mountain, Abraham looked back and he says, "We're coming back. Stay here until we come back." Did you hear that? He said, "We're coming back." He had faith. He had faith to say that if God asked me to sacrifice my son, he's going to bring him back to life. He's going to do a miracle. He's going to do something because I trust God completely. And he looked at those servants and said, "We'll be back." Under the circumstances, he's on top of that mountain. He bound his son. He picks up his knife. The wood is there for the burnt offering. And suddenly, God cries out to him. He stilled that hand that held the knife. And God, as you know, provided another sacrifice. There was a lamb, a ram caught in the bushes, and he went over and took it. Don't you know he had to be praising God at that moment? And don't you know God is looking down at that man and said, "Now that's a man of faith." He was under the circumstances, wasn't he? The next example is the children of Israel. They had toiled in hardship as slaves in Egypt. They were beaten. They were mistreated. They were held down in on every way. And the work was in the boiling hot Egyptian sun. They were building cities for Pharaoh. As you know the story well, God raised up Moses to lead them to freedom. But their troubles as they left Egypt, their troubles were not over because, as you know the story well, they came to the Red Sea. On the other side, they saw impassable mountains. Now, there's a whole big group of people at that point that's under the circumstances, aren't they? I mean, they've got Pharaoh's army coming behind them. They've got the Red Sea in front of them. They've got mountains. They've got nowhere to turn except to God. You ever been in that situation? You ever felt that way? There's just nowhere to turn. I don't know what I'm going to do. There seems to be no answer for this situation. And you cry out to God. You say, "God, somehow, some way, make a way." God was faithful to them, wasn't he? You see in this image, I love that picture. He's faithful today. He brought them through. He brought them through the Red Sea as on dry land. They walked out on the other side in safety. He even destroyed Pharaoh's army as the army tried to follow suit. No doubt, they felt what it was like in their hearts to be under the circumstances and know that God was the God who was going to see them through it. What a great example for you and me today. How about the other example of a man named Job? You know his story well. He was a very happy man. He was a wealthy man. He was a godly man. He had a very large, loving family. But to prove that Job loved God, that he loved God not for all of his blessings, that he loved God just because he loved God for who God was, not what God had given him, God allowed Satan to test Job. By the way, I want to just pause and just remind all of us today, we don't love the Lord because he blesses us. We don't love the Lord because he meets all of our needs. We love God because he's God. We love him because he's our creator, our father. We love him. It's not because of what he does for us or what he will do or what he has done. Oh, those are great, wonderful things. We love God because we know how much he loves us. He gave his son for us. We love him. Well, Job's being tested. And the Bible tells us that four dark-robed messengers came to Job. The first one told him of the complete destruction of all of his oxen and all of his donkeys and all of his servants. Then the second one told him how the sheep and even more servants were destroyed. The third stranger comes and tells him of the destruction of all his camels and more servants. And the fourth one brings the saddest news of all. that telling Job that all of his children, all of them, had been killed in a terrible storm. That's a pretty devastating series of events, isn't it? Job was surely under the circumstances at that moment, wasn't he? I wouldn't want to trade places with him. But his faith in God sustained him. You remember the story, his wife tells him, he says, Job, why don't you just curse God and die? His body was covered with painful boils, as you see on that image on the PowerPoint. And Job's response, he says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Wow, what faith. Though he slay me, I will trust him. And God honored that trust when he gave Job a sweet new family and more property and prosperity than he had ever known. What a great blessing. Then the next example is an example of a fellow called Daniel. You remember Daniel in the lion's den. I can remember Sherry and I teaching elementary Sunday school at Memorial Assembly of God Church. We just loved teaching those little kiddos. And if you remember the day, some of y'all remember this, we used to have these felt boards in the Sunday school class. And we had these little cutout characters. And so Sherry would get all the characters ready before Sunday school and have the lesson plan all ready to go. And you put those little pictures up on those felt boards, and you'd have Daniel up there, and you'd have the lion in the lion's den, and you'd have that other picture of Daniel being set free and coming out, and what a great blessing it was. Good stories. They're reminders to you and me, just as we look at Daniel today, of faith that goes beyond what's in this world around us. Daniel had defied the decree that no one could pray to anybody except the king. And when that decree was given, Daniel went to his room, he opened the window of his room, he knelt down and he defied that decree and he prayed to God. So they arrested him, they took him to the lion's den, and he was certainly under the circumstances when they dropped him down in that lion's den, wasn't he? I mean, don't you know those lions just thought, okay, here's the next meal, this is going to be great. For just a moment, can't you imagine to him it seemed hopeless? But he was thinking in his mind, I know God, I love God, I will not refuse to worship and pray to him no matter what. And if these lions eat me, I'm staying true to what I know is right. That faith was rewarded. You may have been in those situations in the past, and you look back and you remember how God was there for you. Maybe some of you are in a similar hardship or trial or trouble right here now today. I want to tell you, God knows. He's with you. Have faith. Trust in Him. Believe in Him to see you through it. Daniel was in a hopeless situation. He was under the circumstances, but he knew there was a God in heaven. And that God in heaven saw this young man's faith. And the Bible says he shut the mouths of the lions, and it even goes on to say he gave him a peaceful sleep that night. A peaceful sleep. Can you imagine that? Some of us can't even get a peaceful sleep in our own beds, and it's all nice and wonderful. The lights are out and everything's good. We still struggle with that. He's in a den of lions, and God gives him a peaceful sleep. It was so powerful that the king then proclaimed that Daniel's God was the living God. He was the real true God to be worshipped by all people, and he prospered Daniel more and more. What a great story of faith. How about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? These three friends, they were friends of Daniel, and they found themselves under the circumstances, so to speak, as they refused to worship the golden image that the king had set up for everybody to worship. So they were sentenced to death in the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that the king even made it seven times hotter before they put those three Hebrew boys in it. In fact, the Bible says it was so hot that the men that took them up there to throw them in the fiery furnace, it killed them. It was so hot. So all three of them are in the fiery furnace, and the Bible says the king looked in there And he saw three men walking around in the furnace untouched by the flames. And he cried out, we threw three men in the furnace. I see a fourth man walking in the midst of the fire unhurt. And the fourth is like the Son of God. Hallelujah. You look at that image up there of Jesus standing behind those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Faithfulness of God. Faithfulness of God in incredible situations. They continued to trust God. They were under the circumstances. The next one, the last example from the Bible we'll look at this morning is Jesus. Now, there was a time when the Lord Jesus came under the circumstances, didn't he? Think about it. He'd been going about his ministry doing good, giving sight to the blind, giving new bodies to the lame. Those that were deaf could hear again. He even brought back some that were dead back from the grave to life. He did all these wonderful things, yet he was seized by an angry mob. They humiliated him. They beat him. They spat upon him. They nailed him to a cruel Roman cross to endure the most excruciating pain that could be inflicted upon anyone. For hours and hours, he suffered for you and for me. But you know, I've got to believe that as Jesus hung on that cross, and he looked down from that cross, what he saw was what the world couldn't see. What he saw was what no one there that day could see. What he saw was people throughout the ages receiving forgiveness, receiving healing, receiving hope because they dared trust and put their faith in our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he saw all of that. He saw you and me at the point of our greatest need, crying and praying and pleading, attempting to have faith at one of the darkest moments in our life. He saw that. He sees that. And he is faithful. He is still on the throne, so to speak. He is still reaching down. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, no matter what the situation. He is Christ. He is Lord. He is Savior. He can do anything in our lives if we trust him and reach up in faith to meet that need, no matter what the circumstances are. Look at these next words with me on PowerPoint. Jesus conquered the circumstances that he found himself in. He is the master of circumstances. Is that not true? He's the master of circumstances. And he knows this very moment, whatever it is you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what's troubling your heart. He knows that thing that's so worrisome or so painful or so uncertain. And he's telling you, if you'll listen to him, he's saying, you're not alone. I'm with you. Reach up in faith and receive my presence and my help and my love in your life right now. I can help you. Well, that takes us to the second point of the sermon, and that's our lives under the circumstances. We've talked about this already. Trouble comes our way. We wait on the Lord. And we wait and we wait. And sometimes we want to give up and we want to quit waiting. I'm telling you today, just wait on God. Just keep trusting. He'll bring us through in His time. He'll do that. Yes, we understand sorrow comes to our lives. We lose a loved one. We lose those that are dear to us. And the Bible reminds us that we're not like the rest of the world that doesn't have any hope. We do have hope. Whatever the sorrow may be, we have hope. We have hope of heaven. We have a hope of a reunion of our loved ones someday. It could be that some are dealing with financial hardships, financial difficulties come into all of our lives at different times. I like the words of David. He wrote, I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Well, there's a promise right there. That whatever you're going through, whatever the need may be, God's not going to forsake you. Hold on, keep believing, and keep trusting in him. Some of the real painful events of our lives is when we have conflict with family members or conflict with friends, and family members or friends forsake us. It's sad that so much disruption can come in relationships over such small and petty issues. Sometimes friends and family members will turn their backs on us, and it hurts us. It's painful. But there's a word for you today. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 18 and 24, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That friend is our Savior, Jesus. Oh, it's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Aren't you thankful you know Jesus today? Aren't you glad He's your friend? That He's your brother, so to speak. That we're joint heirs with our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Word tells us that. Pharaoh, the story of Pharaoh, a young girl was born in Haiti. And from the time Pharaoh was only 6 years old, she was sexually abused by her stepmother's brother and other male boarders in the home she was in. She was convinced that no one would believe her if she spoke up, so she just kept this nightmare a secret in her mind, in her heart. One day, her father left and never came back, so she was sent to her aunt's home, but the aunt soon died of AIDS. Then she was sent to her grandmother's home. Finally, at the age of 10, Sarah came to the United States from Haiti. She came to live with her mother. Well, by then, Pharaoh's mother had a young child and was living with another man. And the child, the young baby, not Pharaoh, was the apple of her mother's eye. And Pharaoh was just a shattered, frightened, unwanted little girl that no one wanted, that no one even loved. Well, when Pharaoh was 12 years old, a school security guard took interest in her. He began to walk her home. But in just a short time, this man who she looked at as her knight in shining armor, he turned out to be a 36-year-old sexual predator intent on having sexual intimate relationship with a 12-year-old girl. She thought she'd finally found true love. How sad. Well, she refused her mother's demands to end the relationship with this man. So her mother shipped her off to Florida, where her father was living with yet another wife. Well, while she was there, Pharaoh opened up her wounded heart. She told her dad about all the sexual abuse and all the things she had suffered as a little child. But instead of tender sympathy and comfort from her father, it simply triggered more sexual abuse, but this time from her own dad. Eventually, her stepmother became suspicious of the relationship of her and her father. So she insisted she leave, and they shipped her back to New York. And it wasn't long before little Pharaoh, a young teenage girl, was living with the security guard. Living with the security guard that wanted that relationship with her. In his apartment in Brooklyn, that's where they lived. Well, one day a friend visited with Pharaoh and just insisted that she attend church with her. And she said, okay. And so for the first time in her life, she heard the best news that she had ever heard, that there was a God in heaven, that He loved her. But she held back. She didn't respond that day. And the battle for her soul raged on. Pharaoh had become pregnant, but it ended with a miscarriage when she was all by herself alone one day at school in the school restroom. She went into deep depression. Later, at age 19, she became pregnant again, still living with the security guard. And she gave birth to a little girl. But her mother was so angry with her that she turned her back on Pharaoh and the granddaughter. Well, her friend that had invited her to church, she kept after her. And she invited her one more time to come and visit church with her. It was the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. She visited. And on that day, on that time in church, she cried out to God. And she said, God, You have to come and help me. She had an appointment with Pastor Cimbala at the church. And in that meeting, the pastor told Pharaoh that the most important thing that she could ever do was to begin a new relationship with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, and to put all her trust in Christ, because only Christ could give her the answer she needed for her life. She was so desperate. She had no self-respect, no supportive family, a young daughter to care for, an abusive boyfriend. Pastor Cimbala thought only the Lord can deliver and heal this fractured life. Well, they prayed in the church. She asked Jesus to come into her heart and to be her Savior. And the pastor assured her that the church would be with her, that she wasn't alone, and reminded her that Jesus specializes in shattered lives. But she desperately needed to get out of that abusive relationship with the security guard. So the pastor found a young couple that was willing to take her and her little daughter in and let them live with them. And things seemed to be looking up. In her next meeting with the pastor to finalize those arrangements, it seemed like the pastor was a little bit too late in having the right answers, because in that next meeting, she told the pastor that she was pregnant again. She would have to have another place, a place that would care for her, her little daughter, and her soon-to-be-born new baby. Well, Pastor Cimbala searched and called and made notes and followed up with Farah. You know, she was under the circumstances at that point, wasn't she? Extremely so, under the circumstances. He said, "We found a place for you, Farah. It's up in New Hampshire. It's a special home called New Life. They take in young women that need help, that have children, or in your case, a child and about to have a baby. And this is a place that you'll find tenderness and love and help, and we're going to help you get there." And he did. He made arrangements for her, made transportation. She went to New Hampshire, and she found love, and she found comfort. She found people that really could reach out and let her feel the love of Jesus through their love toward her. It was the first time she'd ever really felt loved and safe in all of her life. What an incredible thing it was. Well, Pastor Cimbala, some months later, was traveling and was ministering at a church in Manchester, New Hampshire. And it just happened to be the church that was connected with the New Life ministry. And so while he's there ministering, he sees Farah there, and it's incredible that he sees this young woman, and she comes up to him after the service, and she said, I had a boy, it's a baby boy, and would you please dedicate my son to the Lord tonight in the Sunday night service? And Pastor Cimbala said, oh yes, I'll be thrilled to. He said that he could never forget the radiant look on Farah's face as he lifted up her newborn son in his arms. He said that it was so overwhelming that he saw in Farah her arms raised up and tears running down her cheeks as she wept. And he said he began to weep with unashamed joy for seeing what God was doing in that young woman's life, whose life had been so shattered and broken and now was being healed by the power of Christ. Because of what God had done in her life, Farah knew that there was no limit to God's power. She understands that like a father who pities his children, the Lord always, always listens to our heart's cry. He hears us. His power and His love can heal us in places only He can touch. His power and love can touch us in places that only He understands. You think of this young woman, Farah, despite a past filled with the worst kind of abuse. Farah was a bitter. She was tender-hearted. She was loving. She was like somebody that had been raised from the dead, given a new life full of hope and joy and peace. The hurting young girl, sexually abused, discarded away as if she was worthless and nothing. The young girl that craved a sense of family was now surrounded by God's love, made real through the love of others, reaching out to express that love to her. God wants you to know something this morning. He wants you to know that His answers are always worth waiting for. His answers are always worth waiting for. Satan may be whispering to you right now that you're forsaken, you're alone, there's no hope. Don't believe it. Don't ever listen to the lies of Satan. Look at this next PowerPoint with me, these points. Never forget God's assurance. We read those words when we started the sermon in Isaiah 49 and 15. Yet I will not forget you, the Lord says. I will not forget you. In Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember the promises of God. Never forget His assurance. Keep holding on to the Lord. No matter how you feel, no matter how bad things get, how deep under the circumstances you may find yourselves, and don't give in to the doubt or fear that somehow the situation is impossible, because it's not impossible. We know the God of what is impossible. We know the God of miracles. That whisper that Satan comes and tells us, well, you know, that person will never change, or this situation will never change. That's a lie. That's a lie. Instead of letting Satan have the last word in the battle, speak it to yourself. Speak the word of God from Scripture. Speak the Scriptures that we've just mentioned this morning. Another is in Psalm 145, the Lord is faithful to all His promises. Do you hear that? The Lord is faithful to all His promises and loving toward all He has made. Oh, praise God. No man, hear me, no man in no woman have ever been let down when trusting God. Never. Be encouraged, because the Lord of our lives, the Lord in heaven, our Heavenly Father, has promised that those that wait for me will never be ashamed. Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on Him. We have one last scripture here in 1 Peter 1 and 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That word is just saying that your faith, whatever you're going through, you're being tested, that you're going to come through, that you're going to come through the fire. It's going to be precious. It's going to be wonderful. And you're going to give praise and honor and glory to God for seeing you through, because it's your faith and you believe in Him. Oh, praise God for that. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank You for that faith. Father, I thank You for the hope we have because of Jesus. I thank You that there is no circumstance, there is no situation that's too dark or too impossible for You. That You are able to reach down, and no matter what the cry, what the need may be, You're able to give healing and hope and help and strength and faith to see us through it. That is Your promise to us. Let us hold on to that. Let us believe that You are faithful to us today. Let us have hope, I pray. Let us have that sense that God is in control, that God will come through, that God will meet this need. He'll answer the prayer. Father, we thank You for that hope. We thank You for all the blessings that You give us that increases our faith. Whatever the trial, whatever the test, You're with us. Strengthen us, I pray. Let Your anointing of the Holy Spirit be in us, I pray. In Jesus' name, we ask You all these things. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.